Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, we're glad to have you. Welcome aboard. Dr. William Duckerberg is our guest. He's a regular guest on our show and has been now for a long time. He's chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. He's also a professor of economics at Temple University, formerly the dean of the School of Business at Temple University. And he joins us once a month or so to tell us about what small business owners are saying about the economy, because he polls small business owners all across the country every month and has been doing this now, these many years. We won't say how many, but it's a lot of years, and of course
that was kind of you this morning.
He started when he was very young. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that.
It's good to have you back. Before we get into the survey, I'd like to talk to you. I know you're going to be doing a little bit of commentating on the presidential debates and on how the candidates have been responding with regard to economic issues. And I'd like for you to, if you would please, to give us some of your thoughts on that right now.
Sure. Well, of course, a lot of the questioning last night was about topics that, you know, we just have opinions about, but they're hard to think about. And I know, you know, gay marriage and abortion and all of these issues are important issues. But for me, they're not the major issues for managing the country.
Right.
And I was looking for more of that, and I think it was a little short on some of those issues. But
right.
I think that the differences between the two candidates was pretty clear that in fact, Kerry plans to do a lot more spending. Now, he says he's got a way to pay for it all under the old rules that we used to have in the Congress, which is, you know, you can't increase spending here unless you cut something there. That is,
right.
You got to pay for it as you go. And of course, you can say these things, but you know, only Congress can get this done anyway.
Right.
When the candidates say I'll do this, of course they won't do that because they can't. The power is really in Congress. So it comes down to an issue: who can lead Congress? And I suspect that if Mr. Kerry is elected president, we'll see 4 years of gridlock with very little getting done, because I don't think he has the respect of Congress and will be able to lead, and that'll be an important issue.
Well, some people say, who seem to know what's going on, that John Kerry hasn't made a lot of close connections in Congress in the last 20 years.
Right. He's, you know, he's been busy doing other things, and according to the Wall Street Journal, paying not very much of his income in income taxes. I thought that was an interesting little piece. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't seen that yet. I haven't had a chance to read the journal this week.
But they talked about a couple of important things. One, of course, was the minimum wage, and that's a straight up economic issue.
Right.
It is true that the minimum wage hasn't been changed for a long time, so it's been depreciated in its value. But that's great for employment.
Right.
It's not good to have a $7 minimum wage if you can't get a job. And he was talking about inner city people and so on. That's, you know, he'll do tremendous damage by raising the minimum wage there. The most important thing is to have an opportunity to get a job, get on the job training, learn how to work in a company. I mean,
and earn your raise.
Absolutely, and earn your raise, and competition will ensure that you get paid, you know, what you're worth. I mean, that's the good thing about competition out there. So,
well, he and John Edwards both have come out very strongly in favor of raising minimum wage, and
yeah.
And of course, my audience knows how I feel about an increase in minimum wage. The government has no business telling me how much I should pay my employees. Now, there's been a minimum wage as long as I've been an employer. I've never hired anybody at minimum wage. I've always paid people more than minimum wage because the people I've hired have at least had some skills.
Right.
A minimum wage is for somebody who walks in and you have to show them how to use a pen almost.
Where the bathroom is.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, that's my view. And I think President Bush made a very good point saying the key to solving the problem of low wages is to make sure the educational system works. The problem with the minimum wage is that most of the, you know, it's not a very good device for helping poor people. We've got the earned income tax credit. That's much better. The most people who earn the minimum wage are from above median income families. You know, I teach 150 kids a week here at the university. They all have minimum wage jobs. Those are the kinds of kids who often have minimum wage jobs, and they're not the target of our poverty programs. They're going to graduate and get great jobs, you know.
Exactly. Well, that's something that I think that's a that's a little bit of an indicator of how Mr. Kerry feels about how the economy works. And I don't think he, with that kind of a statement, anybody who believes that minimum wage should be increased doesn't really understand how the economy works, especially in the 21st century. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. 20 till. I'll be right back. Stay with me. We're back at 17:10, 43 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. William Dunkelberg is our guest, Chief Economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And Bill, before we get into the survey, any other thoughts on the presidential campaign with regard to economics that you'd like to talk to us about?
Well, I think the you know, the other big issues are harder to understand. The healthcare issue is obviously a very big one. It's the number one problem for small businesses today in our surveys, and it's not clear to me how, as Mr. Kerry suggests, we can all have Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance programs, and
it's
not going to be expensive. So it's a nice promise, but you know that's not going to happen. We certainly need some reform in the healthcare system. That would be helpful, but I don't see how that's going to work.
Well, the reform that we need is association health plans.
Well, that will certainly that could certainly help, but I think you know it still always bothers me that at my institution, for example, my healthcare plan is negotiated by some bureaucrat that I don't know with Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and he sets the terms and he agrees to the price, and then they just take it out of my paycheck. Whereas at least for my home insurance and my auto insurance and my life insurance and all the other insurances I buy, I can shop around and get the deal I want. And, of course, with my health care, I can't do that.
Right. Well, we need to make insurance portable and competitive, market-based and competitive. And that's the opposite of what Mr. Kerry talks about.
Absolutely.
He's against association health plans. That could be one of the greatest things to ever happen to small businesses. And so I've got a problem with that. And also, you know, Mr. Kerry has said he's going to raise our taxes. A lot of small businesses out there have sub-S corporation corporations that their company is structured under, and some of those people are going to many small business owners are going to be in that category that Mr. Kerry is going to raise their taxes.
Well, I think of course the 200,000 cut, people would say, well, you know, I'm not there for 200,000 income, but. But it's, with all the spending this proposes, it's not likely to be there. It always starts there, but then they always need more money, and so what would be a high income tax is going to be everybody's income tax, and that's the way it's going to have to go, especially since in a couple of years the baby boomers start out. I mean, we're going to have some major problems there.
That's right. Bill, let's move over and talk about the survey. What did your respondents tell you this week, this last month, about how the economy is looking?
Well, we had some really good news in September. We saw the optimism index hop up to almost 105. It gained almost 2 points over the previous month, and that's good news. We have
Why did Mr. Bush use that last night? He should have used your numbers last night.
I think he should have. You know, we give them to him. You know, it would be, you know, and critics who say people aren't optimistic, you know, aren't reading the tea leaves very well. And looking at the indices, consumers, of course, are not as optimistic. You look at the Michigan Index or the Conference Board Index, they're not as optimistic as they were in 2000. But we were all wildly crazy in 2000, except our guys, by the way. Our index didn't peak in 2000, so we weren't quite as crazy as the rest of the world.
We weren't optimistic in 2000. We were delusional.
Well, that's right. But the small business people weren't, and at least in terms of the index, we didn't peak then like the consumer optimism did. But it was a crazy time, and of course we're down from there. But if you look at the current readings on these measures, you see that they're very optimistic if you look at the long history of these data series. So we had really good news there. We have very solid job creation plans, capital spending plans hopped up, inventory accumulation plans went really up strongly. So there's still a lot of good stuff happening there. Job openings remained high, and the percentage of firms raising prices actually slid a little, which is good news and bad news. It stabilized. Now it seems like about in the 20% range, which is four times what it was last year. That's helping on the profit side, but it looks like prices will stop going up, which of course means that the inflation numbers will stop rising. You have to have prices continually rise to have inflation. If that stops, then inflation stops.
Well, and inflation has, as you said, pricing is not the pricing party. I think is how you identified it, is not as heated as it has been in the last few months.
Right, and that's good news. So if we don't have if we raised our prices now, we're making a lot of money. The profits are looking good. Finally, getting a good return on investment. And that's fine. That means you don't need to raise prices further, and apparently we're not. So
the profit picture, the profit picture is what you've got to look at with regard to pricing, isn't it? Because because if you aren't raising prices, then you know it might be that you can't raise prices, but yet your expenses are going up. Your products are costing you. You know, if they're going up and you can't raise your prices, then you got the squeeze that we basically had in 2001, 2, and 3.
That's right. But, you know, in terms of optimism, we had an increase of 4 points in the percent who say now's a good time to expand your business, and we had an increase of 4 points in the percent who think the economy is going to be better, and all of those are nice moves and suggest that at least the small business owners out there have a fair amount of confidence in the economy, and to whatever extent they think the presidential race is important, they're comfortable with wherever they think it's going.
But hiring was not as strong. The plans to hire were not as strong this month, were they?
That's right. We had a great month in August. It was very, very strong. It started pushing up into the range that we saw in the late 1990s and 2000. We had a net 19% planning to hire. That's unusual. And it dropped right back to the 14% level, which is higher than any reading we had during the 1980s job expansion, which was the best, if not if not the second best, but a great job expansion time. So we're getting really solid readings here. You don't want to see these things going up to record levels, because once you start reaching record levels, you know, some things get out of balance, creates a disequilibrium. And
that's what happened in 1999 and 2000,
yes, it did.
And early 2000. Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't want to see that.
That's right. That's called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. Somebody wrote a book about that a couple hundred years ago. Tin Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me.
We're back at 7 till.
Every time you hold me.
I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, Bill Dunkelberg, is our guest. He's the chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And that's NFIB.com. I encourage you to check out their website. I encourage you to support their efforts. They work hard for you and for me as small business owners. And if an NFIB person calls you or calls on you, give them a few minutes of your time and tell them that I said so. And I think you'll be impressed. And I encourage you to see what you can do and to see if there's something in there for you. And I think you'll find that there is if you'll just listen for a few minutes. I've been an NFIB member for a long, long time. Bill, I want to talk about this for a moment. I want to go back to this job situation. You have said that you've got some numbers that show that 4 years ago there were more people employed in America than there really were jobs to justify it.
Yeah, I think that's the case. We talk about all the irrational exuberance in the stock market. We also had it in the job market. And you could even see it in the NFIB indicators, where the percentage of firms with a job opening they couldn't fill in 2000 reached an all-time high. And, of course, people thought the economy was going to keep going. We can document all the exuberance. And what we found was that because of that, we employed 2.5 million more people than we needed to produce the GDP of 2000. So we were hiring in anticipation of a great continuance of that expansion, which, of course, didn't occur. The economy fell out of bed in the second half, and that was it.
So you're saying that the economic conditions that we now know were inflated significantly in 99 and 2000, that there were corresponding job rates, hiring rates, and employment rates, I should say, that corresponded with that. And
that's
that,
right.
when that economy, that false economy collapsed basically and put us into the recession that we have seen, that those jobs went away. But the thing is, though, today President Bush is being held accountable for the loss of those jobs by some
people. That's right. That always happened, especially in a political environment, of course. And that's unfortunate, but it is true that we had an employment bubble just as we had a bubble in the stock market because we were so wildly optimistic about future growth. And it was wrong, and it was, as you said, irrational. But it was a fact of life. And so each little small business trying to hire one more person to produce that growth in their sales, led to a big bubble in employment, which then we had to adjust over the second half of 2000 and into 2001, which was a recession, and 2002.
Isn't it true that there are more people working in America today than ever before?
Well, that's true. Employment is at an all-time high, just the numbers. And that's good, although, there's a million more people in the U.S. every year, so we ought to be, we ought to see good employment growth from that sense. But I think the more important statistic is that we employ 62.5% of the adult population, and that's about the fifth or fourth highest we've ever seen, the higher numbers again occurring back in the bubble time in 99 and 2000. The numbers were a little higher, but this is we have a great employment machine here.
Right, absolutely. And the thing about it, Bill, is I believe that the jobs that we're creating now are really entrenched jobs. And by that I mean more and more we're buying technology, we're employing technology, and we're hiring people to support that technology instead of the other way around. In the 20th century, we hired people and bought them technology. Now we're buying technology and hiring people to support that. And my point is the technology is going to be around. So if the people are supporting the technology, the jobs that we have right now are prudent jobs. They're not inflated jobs.
Right. Senator Kerry was certainly wrong about what he was saying. I mean, the real income has grown twice the rate of inflation over the past couple of years, and it's not all going to the 200,000 that Mr. Kerry wants to tax. Job creation is good. Now, he'll point out that a lot of those jobs are janitor's jobs. So, well, of course, because when you grow the economy, all kinds of jobs grow. We don't just hire presidents and CEOs and pay them $500,000 a year. All kinds of jobs grow, and that's the way it happens. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's typical in the economy.
But, right. Absolutely. Bill, your survey is available at NFIB.com.
Right, and smallbusbus.org.
Okay.
And also all the charts and the monthly report.
And also at my site, on my homepage,
homepage.
There's a section there, there's a link there on the front page of the homepage that says Small Business Surveys. And it's one of the two that, one of the two that are there. Bill Dunkelberg, thank you for being here today. Good job today, as always. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much, and see you next time.
We'll see you next month. Dr. William Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, chief economist for the NFIB. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later. Actually, I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.